This Finish Line Radio podcast brought to you by WePaint. Give owner Jamie Goodman a call at 1-912-341-5372. At WePaint, we paint so you don't have to.
Dale's Heating and Air presents Finish Line Radio.
Finish Line Radio.
On ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
Your home for NASCAR in the Valley.
It's Jamie Kyle, Scott Webb, and Jason Hildebrand.
Welcome to the fastest hour in radio, live from the Dwayne Williams Memorial Studios. It's Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air. Whether you're listening to us on the FM dial or the ESPN 101.3 app, thank you so much for making us a part of your day. And this is where all my notes end. On today's show, we'll recap this past week's race at Phoenix. We'll hear from your champion, not your winner, but your champion, Kyle Larson.
We can hear from your winner, too.
We can do that, and that would be Ryan Blaney as he squeaked one out at the end. It's flush the format today, boys. Last show of the year. Never done a flush the format before, but I'm super pumped about it because I don't have to do all these reads. I'm just going to thank all of our sponsors. We'll talk. We got Alex Hayden coming on at 5:30 or somewhere in there.
6:30.
And he'll talk. Yeah,
for those 6:30. Listening to the radio.
Yeah, that's right. 6:30. So that's why I don't have
that's
that
why you need
down.
That's why you need a show schedule.
Yeah. We'll have the final Rick Cart Memorial Fantasy Standings. I don't even care.
Do we have
I don't even know who won.
Yeah.
I don't care about that either.
We'll have to print those off. I didn't print those off either.
All that presented by Dale's Heating and
Until
Air.
Until it's the last show of the year.
Yeah.
We're done.
This is the finale of year 13. As
is it 13, been 13
it's
years?
It's got to be 13 because I was in, I judge it by what bank I was at when we started. And, you know, the J&J pre-race show.
Oh, that was good.
That was done in like 2011.
Something like that.
I think.
Nah, it was later than that.
Was it?
Yeah, it was about 2013.
2013.
Yeah.
It had to be
it.
2013. So 12 years, 13. Hey. We can make it up. Right? We make up everything we say anyway, so we'll make up how many years we've been on the air. But
long time.
Yeah. I'm Jamie Kyle, to my radio, right, all things Alabama, Jason Hildebrand, and sitting across the table. Let me see if I can do this without looking. Spinning the tunes, spinning opinions, keeping us on the air. That would be the super producer, Scott Webb. That's how many times I've read that statement that I didn't even have to look down. So
40-plus times this year.
40-plus times this year. If you want to go further than that, it's, who knows, 375. I'd like to know how many actual shows we've done, not years, but how many times we've sat behind the microphone.
Let's go see.
And,
I got recordings going back a long way. So.
Yeah, and I'd hate to listen to some of those, too. So, all right, flush the format. Listen, want to thank all of our sponsors that have been with us through the first segment. County Commissioner Mylon Blake on the Heater Dud Meter. We'll get to that here in just a second, but... also Premier Tire and Auto. Who else is in the first segment here? Caldwell Paving and Grading and Quick Check Convenience Mart, and also WebIB Digital Marketing, who, excuse me, I was on a rush on the way over here because I had a presentation to make it work and I had two bologna and cheese sandwiches. So I'm doing well.
Peter had a hot dog out in the parking lot too.
Yeah. So he knows where we're at. So
desperate times call for roller dogs, man.
That Whatever and bologna and cheese sandwiches. And but all those sponsors, listen, we couldn't do any of this without you. This is the first year we did podcast all year. And so all those people have for a very cheap rate got their information put out to the masses, all eight of them that listen to our podcast. And so we want to say thank you for that. So, all right, let's jump into to Phoenix. I'm going to go just on a whole weekend because I think I watched all three races. Not as much the Xfinity race because I was engulfed in Tennessee, Oklahoma. But I'm going to go again. What is it? One being the best, five being the worst.
Yep.
I'm going to go 2.5. I'm going to give that the whole weekend.
It had the championship race feel to it. I just it's hard for me to get past the Phoenix track itself. I'm going 2.5 on Sunday. It had some intrigue there. Tires were falling off. You saw, a lot of cautions come out for reasons that I didn't foresee. And so I thought it kept it interesting. I'm going 2.5.
On the truck race was 1.5. That was outstanding.
Seven wide?
They were seven wide on the last restart. On that alone, you get just by default get at least a 1.5. Didn't see much of the Xfinity race, although Jesse Love winning the championship there is a big upset over the way Connor Zilch had run all year long.
Product of
I thought the championship race was dominated by one car, but it had a lot of intrigue, especially from a tire perspective, because Goodyear, and I think they did a good job on the show talking about this. Goodyear really talked about there's, and we've said this, and we've seen this happen before. Hey, there's a limit you can push these tires, and it seems like especially the two of the four cars in the championship really kind of exceeded what they could push on those cars, and they had tire issues in that race. So the race itself was really, middle of the pack, 2.5, 3 for me. Obviously, the finish kind of changes the math on that a little bit. Getting the upset late in the race, the disappointment of Hamlin not winning, but a good championship weekend at a track that I'm ready to move on from as the championship race.
100%.
Yeah, pretty cool. I think it was a commercial with Brad Keselowski and somebody where they Kyle Busch, where they did a Back to the Future kind of thing and went and showing that they were racing at Homestead next year. All right, so yeah, Denny Hamlin, man. I think oddly enough, I think we're all cheering for him, even though we don't really care much about him.
I was wondering when we were texting on Sunday how many times we were all pulling for the 11 car the same time. I don't know that that's ever happened.
And he
before.
Did everything to win. I think that's the thing that kind of hurts him. I'm sure is he still not over it. He has to race next year for sure because he's contractually obligated. But he's the Carl Edwards of the playoff format. I mean, I think that's the reason Carl Edwards
way
left.
Beyond the Carl Edwards. I think Edwards had 28 total wins. He has 60.
But I think it's the same reason. I think if he wasn't contractually obligated, Jason, I think he quits now.
Yeah, and it's got to be frustrating for Hamlin, and you sit and think about throughout this chase, he's dealt with one race in the chase where his power steering was shot, gone.
Clutch.
Clutch this past weekend. The issues with his dad, his ailing dad right now. I mean, this has been – you can tell it's been kind of a trying playoffs for him.
Not to mention he's in a court battle.
Yeah. I mean, all kinds of stuff going on. And trying to look over, watch some things going on 23-11.
Yeah.
It's just – it's got to be stressed out.
Well, yeah, because he's got a driver at 23-11 that's got a kid in the hospital that's fighting for his life. So – yeah, I mean, a lot of it. And kudos to him. Look, put together, we talk about Two Finger all the time, but he put together his relationship with his wife, mother of his kids, and they had another kid. You could tell his kids love him. And it's one of those things where it's just, you hate to see, you would have liked to have seen him get the championship. Now, does anybody deserve a championship? No. Does anybody deserve to get in the Hall of Fame? Dale Murphy, if you're listening, make sure that happens. But I think it's one of those deals where we all, for one time in Denny's life, where most people hated him, I think the majority of the NASCAR world was pulling for him.
Well, I can tell you from being at Martinsville, most people hate him.
Yeah.
He got booed.
Loud, Dagger, Bristol, wherever you want to go.
No, I think he got booed as loud, if not louder than anybody else. But I think there was a point after the race where you just, I think everybody, and I think Larson is even going to talk a little bit about it on the audio I pulled off. It's not that anybody, like you said, it's not that anybody deserves to win a championship, but this guy has been arguably one of the best racers of the last decade. And he's done everything in the sport but win. And, the sport needs a villain. He kind of fills that role right now. It used to be Kyle Busch, but he's not relevant anymore because he's not competitive. And he's taken that role and he has embraced it. They win a bunch of races, 6 race wins this year. They've won a lot of races the last several years. Everything is there but the championship. And to have it, not only to not win that race, but to not win that race in the manner in which they didn't win.
Yeah.
makes you feel for the guy. I never thought I would say, man, I feel bad for Denny Hamlin. But I do. I felt bad on Sunday. It's great for us because it gives us plenty of content to talk about.
Sure.
But
without notes.
But to go out there and, you know, they've struggled. They've been to this race before with a chance to win and struggled. And to go out there and completely dominate the race. There was a stretch where Byron was just as racy and competitive. But for the most part, start to finish, that was the best car. This is their best chance. They have three laps to go, and it's one of the other four blows a tire and ends up, his teammate ends up winning the championship on a gutsy call. And, you know, I still thought it was the right decision. I thought the four tires was the right decision. If he could get even with Larson there in that first lap, the tires were going to make the difference. And he did, but then he looked to me like he got tight coming out of three.
He needed a couple more laps.
Coming out of two. And
it was over at that point.
Point, it was done. Now, there was nothing. There was too much aero to be able to overcome in another lap.
And too good of a driver in the five car.
Yeah.
I was worried about him taking four tires because of the length of that track.
Yeah.
You know, there's not a lot of time to make that up. And if you're going, you're sitting, starting 10th, even though the restarts can be hairy out there and very, very exciting, you can gain some spots there. I was worried about how much time's left in
this
race.
Well, and the difference
between
that. I thought
that he might not even go in at all.
Well, and I thought, you know, I still think tires is the right call. But the difference between the truck race where Corey Helm is running up against the inside wall and they're seven wide is his car stuck.
Yeah.
And Denny's didn't. He moved up the track.
Yep.
And at that point, that race was over. It was just a matter of whether or not Larson would screw up, and he didn't.
Yeah, I think that's the big thing. So let's talk about that a little bit because, I mean, you had let me say this first.
Only car with four tires.
Yeah. Since it's flush the format, I don't have any notes. If you look at Denny's overall performance for the year, I'm not sure. How many race wins did he have?
At least six.
He had six. He led the sport. Six wins.
Six race wins in a year. And we're going to format talk here if you don't know where I'm heading. Six race wins, probably one of the most consistent drivers throughout the year. Not a lot of DNFs that I can remember.
Yeah, they had some.
They did have some. But in a Winston Cup type of format.
Do you know who would have won if it would have been a Winston Cup?
Bell, format? Right?
Christopher Bell. Christopher Bell would have won.
That would have been
if
weird.
If it would have been a Jimmy Johnson format where it just counted the playoffs,
Chase.
It would have been – I think Kyle Larson.
So Denny Hamlin doesn't win in any of those
situations. Either of those situations.
That's odd. I don't know. I mean, who had the most race wins all year? I mean, for the
Larson.
Larson had the most?
Hamlin had the most wins. He had six.
And then second, Shane Van Gisbergen. I'm telling the lies here.
He's rookie of the year, too. Congrats. I think that, to me, is like with a format that rewards winning, it didn't reward winning.
If that makes sense. I don't know. I still don't have a problem with the format.
The format's better than anything we'd had up to this point.
I don't have any problem with the format. Now, do you want to tweak it? So
that's the word of the week. I mean,
where it's a 12-week playoff and the last three races are the final four guys? I don't even know if I like that.
I like if you want to talk about consistency, I think having four cars for three races is going to provide great storylines.
If three of those four cars have one bad race and a guy's got a 60-point lead, all he's got to do is start the car.
That's what we didn't want at Atlanta back in the old times with the Winston Cup. Yeah. All you had to do is just crank it, right?
You can still have a guy going out there, say Hamlin, for instance, that dominates or even wins more, 8 to 10 times during the regular season. What if he gets out there and craps the bed those last three?
Yeah.
And the other guys are just kind of barely skating by, but they finish higher. You know, that it still doesn't prove anything. It's just strange.
All right. My question is, does it look different if the final track is not Phoenix and it's Homestead, or if it moves around a little bit, do we get different results? Because a lot of the complaints are Penske won the last three championships before Larson this past week. And they run great. As they ran great again, they finished first and fourth.
I don't ever remember in this scenario, whether it be at Homestead or whether it be at Phoenix, that three of the four, if not four of the four cars, were in contention at the end of the race to have a chance. And most of the time, somebody won. I think that's the thing, is that if it's at Phoenix, if it's at Homestead, if you throw it at Atlanta, if you put it wherever, the four cars that are running, they haven't, history hadn't shown that they're going to finish 33rd, 34th, 35th, and 36th. Mm-hmm. They're in the top 10, and maybe one's out. Carl Edwards went out with, you know, that deal or whatever. But I don't think the track is the issue. Do I like we're going back to Homestead? Yes, I like that track better.
Throw that bad boy down to Talladega.
Throw it at Talladega. Throw it at Daytona. I'm all in. You already know that. So,
oh, yeah.
It's one of those deals where I don't know, Scott.
Then it is an absolute crapshoot.
It is. Well, but that's what it is. So, I mean,
you could just ride around the back of the field and finish.
The strategies would be out the yin-yang, and this show would be fantastic. 30.
But, you know,
I would enjoy
what you could do, though, you know, in the last, say, three or four races, you know, have a track that represents each style.
That was the one thing, and I'm glad you pointed that out, Jason. That's one thing I kind of thought about this week. If we had a short track, a super speedway, and an intermediate track as our final three races.
But you'd have to put that super speedway at the end, because the super speedway could take two of the three drivers out, or two of the four drivers out, maybe even three of the four drivers out, to where they wouldn't have a chance on consistency.
I would think it would
be at
the beginning.
Yeah, you'd have to throw it at the beginning.
At the beginning, because then, you know.
They went away from those cutoff races with super speedway quick.
Oh, yeah. Well, because Harvick was trying to
kill somebody, trying to prevent Junior from making the playoffs.
Right.
You know, you brought up that all four were in there. How in the hell was Chase Briscoe even still have a piece
he wrecked
of sheet
a car.
Metal
well,
on it?
He's my – now I'll just go ahead and play the audio.
Oh, wow.
Shock Finisher of the Week. Brought to you by Caldwell Paving and Grading.
Since we're not really following along
the format.
Since we're flushing the format today, how many times did they come from absolutely, the 19 is dead? How many times did we rattle that text off this weekend and then turn around and, oh my goodness, they're running six?
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
I guess to my point of these four cars, if you win at Martinsville and that's how you get in, then maybe you don't have time. But Chase got in early, so they had time to prepare a Phoenix car. I mean, it just seems like those guys have that car that is going to be extremely good at that track when they get there, or Homestead, wherever.
It'd be interesting to see. Maybe we can ask Alex about his perspective on what, you know, a different format might look like.
I've already told Alex too, it's flush the format. So he may bring on golf. Who knows?
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I know he's not gonna bring on the Dolphins.
No.
So we don't have to worry about that. So I don't know. I don't have an answer that I think would be, and I've seen all sorts of stuff today about ratings and all this other stuff. I mean, ratings are down. If you're not football, ratings are down everywhere. So none of that stuff matters to me. But I still think there's excitement. I know that what NASCAR was trying to do, they were trying to build in those Game 7 moments. Like, if you watch the baseball game on Saturday night, that was electric.
Yeah.
I had no dog in the hunt, and I couldn't even step away from the couch. I was so locked in on what was going on.
You didn't have ESPN either.
No, I didn't. I didn't have ESPN, so I went to a whole lot of other places I could get locked in too. But... What they're trying to do, I think, is trying to build those kind of moments.
Yeah.
And it's hard for it to come organically. If we were in an old Winston Cup situation and Christopher Bell has a 127-point lead, all he's got to do is start the car, the race, you know, it's over. Yeah. So I get what they're trying to do. Could it be tweaked? Maybe. Yep. But I want to hear, give me, what do you think would be better? I think I like the stages in the playoffs. I like eliminating groups of people all the way through it, so that we don't need eight people competing.
What if
the
last
race,
like four tracks, you made it to where they hadn't raced there all year? If you had it at a place where nobody has any notes, it is go out, figure it out, and show that you're a champion.
I wouldn't mind seeing a super speedway, a road course, a short track, intermediate, and, you know, be done.
And a road course that wasn't the Roval.
Oh, God, yeah. It's terrible. Or Coda.
Yeah. Grief. And you can't go to New York because it's probably weather.
Sonoma.
Yeah. Go to Sonoma. It's and out it, there, it'd baby. Actually be green grass, which would be great, too. So, yeah, I don't know. It's definitely something that, you know, I guess you have to ask the question, is it broken? Is it broken, or is it that
Denny Hamlin wins on Sunday,
nobody's saying
are we complaining?
No. But I think, yeah, because I think we've complained about it for the past, ever since it's been there, that we either don't like the track or we don't like the format. So I don't know.
I said, to me, I'm more hung up on track than I am format.
So my shock finisher of the week.
Are we doing that?
You know, Scott already threw out his.
Oh,
yeah.
Briscoe is his. All right, my shock finisher of the week is the number six, Brad Keselowski. How in the heck? I'm watching the race.
And I was hoping he won.
I saw he was leading. I didn't even know he didn't win.
Yeah, and it was a photo finish, wasn't it?
That was the most shock. No, it wouldn't even. He had him by a good half car length.
Oh, so he passed in there too.
Yeah, I didn't even know because all they kept talking about was Larson.
Because
Larson.
You're locked in looking where Larson and Hamlin is, and I didn't even. All I saw was Larson cross the line. Then I look at my phone and it says Blaney won. And I thought, well, maybe that's just somebody just tweeted the wrong name. And then I look down again and I see a screenshot from NASCAR. Ryan Blaney wins at Phoenix. I'm like, what am I looking at? So I had to go back and look at the replay of the finish to figure out that Keselowski just almost wrecked into the wall in the last turn that caused Blaney to have a run to beat him.
I didn't know until you sent the text that said, how did Keselowski not win that?
I just heard it at the end when I was watching it that they said, and Blaney wins. But, I'll go with an easy one, but – When you have the opportunity, I remember we had Earl Barbin on here. It seemed like he talked for 45 minutes, and he was talking about when Jimmy Johnson got to the front and at the beginning of the caution that he knew he was going to win the championship. I'll go with Kyle Larson. Had the opportunity to get it done, and you still had to drive the car. You still had to, under that pressure with two tires, no Denny's coming, and be able to get it done. And let's call him Mr. Two-Time. I'd give it to the number five car. All right, I think we need to probably take a break. It's getting close.
We had a schedule. We could have done it, but you know, whatever.
Yeah, we'll have to come back with a little news in the world of NASCAR.
Plus, we do have audio from Blaney and Larson.
Maybe we'll get that at some point. I don't know. Who knows? All right, we'll be back right after this.
Buckle up and hang on. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3. Pull those straps tight. It's time for more Finish Line Radio on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
Welcome back to Finish Line Radio, heated by Dale's Heating and Air. Listen, I want to thank Dale for being the primary sponsor of this show the last several years. Dale Taylor is a good friend of mine, and he out of the Ottawa-Collegedale area, bought up into Cleveland, and he runs a good shop. So give them a call here in Cleveland, 423-509-8787, or do like we've done all year, just call dales.com. All right, time for news in the world of NASCAR. I want to give a big shout-out to Mouse Creek Pharmacy for their sponsorship of News in the World of NASCAR, and then as always, Bree Maya with Cry Like Realtors for sponsoring the point system, NASCAR Cup point standings. And it's hard to do when you're flushing the format today like we're doing. I'm usually a pretty good go-by-schedule guy. So don't have a ton of news in the world of NASCAR, just a couple of things that caught my attention about 15 minutes ago when you were talking. 2311 Front Row Motorsports are asking the court for permission to depose Rick Hendrick and Roger Penske. I'm looking forward to that, man.
Childress involved, too.
Yeah.
He was named as well.
Oh, yeah. So that will be – it's getting good. So we'll see. Jimmy Johnson.
I would say that NASCAR ruling – that ruling yesterday kind of got NASCAR a little nervous. As they
didn't get what they wanted.
They didn't get what they wanted, and it's got to have a – so, you know, according to some of the people I was reading, Jordan Bianchi, Gluck, Pockrass, all those guys, you know, they think that NASCAR is really going to ramp up the, hey, let's make a settlement thing. Yeah. They don't want this thing to go to court because they're not feeling as comfortable as they were.
Well, think about it. You got no more news to protect you from the news. So now the whole off season, these reporters got nothing to do except go cover a court case.
So I don't know.
Also, Jimmy Johnson announced his intention to run in the Cup race at San Diego near his hometown next year. Not immediately clear if he will ask for an open exemption spot that would guarantee him a spot in the field. You know, listen, let's don't be the Bill Elliott and of this NASCAR deal. I remember being in Atlanta and Bill had been retired for what seemed like 15 years, and he ran a car there. So anyway, let's don't do that.
I think I was at that race. It was about 99, I want to say. No, it was Darrell Waltrip.
Yeah, that was Darrell. This would have been
around
like
there.
209.
He was driving McDonald's car, wasn't he?
Yeah, no, actually, yeah, 204, 205 probably.
Yeah. I was thinking of
I don't even Darryl know if Waltrip it was the McDonald's car. I think it was the, who knows, it's Kmart, man. Kmart. That's funny. Yeah, so that's, we'll see with Jimmy Johnson. Why don't you just hang it up? I guess he gets some points and he's got some sponsorship money there he needs to get going. So, all right, Scott. Last four in the that was left in the championship.
Yeah, there are four guys left in the championship.
What's the final NASCAR Cup point standings?
Would you like me to read the final
NASCAR Cup? Scott. Wait a minute. Stop the music. Let's get all right. Scott, take it away. There we go.
Thanks, Jamie. It's now time for your final NASCAR
this is
Cup.
Fun. I like series. This a lot better.
I don't.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what you're doing and we're just rambling. But Kyle Larson is your 2025 NASCAR Cup Series champion. Denny Hamlin finishes second. Chase Briscoe, William Byron, Christopher Bell are your top five. Ryan Blaney, Joey Logano, Chase Elliott, Tyler Reddick, Ross Chastain your top 10. And the final 16 drivers that made it, Bubba Wallace 11th, Shane Van Gisbergen 12th, Alex Bowman, Austin Cindric, Austin Dillon, and I think he did finally finish some races, Josh Berry is in 16th, and that is your NASCAR Cup Series standings.
Yeah, great job.
Yeah,
that's really
good.
See,
right now you would normally read the read.
Yeah,
that you're just not going to do today.
No,
so.
It's the last flush the format, baby.
Flush the format.
Kyle Larson won the championship. How about let's hear from Young Money? Pretty cool thing I watched on NASCAR TV last night. I don't know if you guys watched the award ceremony. I got to see Kyle's speech there at the end. But his wife brought a little, her pocket purse had a dollar sign on it. So let's hear from Kyle Larson's championship win.
I was so happy and thrilled and, you know, celebrated my team on the backstretch and then, you know, went to the front stretch to do my celebrating there and interviews and whatnot. And I got done and I could see, you know, his car and team and him doing interviews. And I was just like, it just kind of hit me like, oh man, like, I can't imagine what he's feeling right now. You know, we've all gone through our own defeats, but I really can't imagine what he's feeling. It's got to be something completely different than I've ever felt before through any of my defeats. And then, yeah, I had another opportunity to give an interview, and I just wanted to let everybody know, you know, how I felt. And again, you know, he's a great competitor. He's a good friend. In 20 years of trying and getting so close, I just, you know, I there's a definitely a large piece of me that feels, you know, really bad and sad, you know, but at the same point, I'm happy. So it's such a weird feeling, you know, when you don't win the race, you don't lead a lap, you win the championship, you steal it from a guy who's tried, you know, for so long and had it in his fingertips. Like it's a really weird feeling.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's your champion, Kyle Larson. Doesn't sound like much of a champion. Sounds like he's
I think he was literally feeling the same thing we were all feeling. It's like, I can't believe he just won, and I can't believe that Hamlin lost so spectacularly that it was kind of hard. Like, we kind of went through it in a text message exchange. It took us a minute to digest what had just happened.
Right.
When you see a guy so dominant in the race, and then all they have to do is it just has to go green. He's going to win that race by 2.5-3 seconds. And
gone.
Just like that, your championship is, and, you know, and it's hard. They're hard to win. You got to, you know, regardless of what the format's going to be going forward, you know, this was the best opportunity for them to win the championship. And to have now, you have to wonder: is he ever going to win one?
I mean, the dude dominated every. The dude dominated the race, and Larson doesn't even lead a lap. No. I mean, that's the whole thing is kind of ironic.
Yeah, that's the weird thing about. That's what the format brings, though. Yeah. So, all right, and part of Flush the Format, we've got Alex Hayden coming up next. I've already warned him. We're flushing the format. No telling what his topics will be. I'm sure they'll be NASCAR related, or maybe how he dressed up last night for the NASCAR Awards. We'll talk to him right after this.
Got you covered. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3. The green flag is out. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
Welcome back to Finish Line Radio, heated by Dale's Heating and Air. I hate this time of year, by the way. Leave. It's going to be
dark. Is it going to be cold? Like, yes. It's 70-something degrees outside
right
now.
It's going to be like 38 on Monday.
And it's going to be 38 on Monday.
I know.
The high.
I don't know how you lived in Michigan, as long as you did.
I bet the next guy that jumps on here, he's not going to be in 38-degree weather.
No, he'll be probably in the Florida Keys somewhere. That'd be Alex Hayden.
That would be my guess.
MRN. What's up, buddy?
Hey, good evening, guys. Yeah, I believe it or not, I just got back from Phoenix this morning. I did the red eye back after doing a championship banquet. Oh, was it last night? My days are all mixed up. But yeah, it's going to be good. I will not be in the Keys in the next 2 weeks. I'm actually going to be in Europe. So,
Sorry.
Yeah. So that's kind of where we're. Alicia and I are getting out of town for a little while before Thanksgiving. I got to do racing, of course, on Thanksgiving weekend. So it's going to be a busy time. But, yeah, looking forward to getting to Europe next week.
Yeah, I think I'm going next year. I went probably 21 years ago. I think I'm going to go to England and hang out for a bit. So
we doing travel? We doing shoes? What are we talking about on this show?
It's Flush the Format. This is the last show of the year. We can say whatever we want to talk about. So
around here.
Anyway, Alex, here's my deal on one, I want to get this out of the way. How's your NASCAR's most popular driver not – in person last night to receive the award?
Because he wasn't required to be there, I think, is part of the deal. And this was a unique circumstance. NASCAR tried to do something a little bit different by having the award ceremony on a Tuesday night right after the championship race. You know, it's not without precedent. We used to do this with the truck and Xfinity Series banquets when we'd wrap up at Homestead Miami Speedway. Of course, they would be Friday night, Saturday night races, Cup race on Sunday, and then Monday night in South Beach, we would have the Xfinity and Truck Series banquet. So it's not without precedent to do something like this, and the industry kind of got together, a.k.a. the drivers and teams, and said, hey, look, let's do this in Phoenix while we're already out there, get it done. That's one extra weekend we don't have to travel for work later in the calendar year. So I think overall it was accepted really well, and it came off without a hitch.
How many people at Phoenix and you think watching felt bad for Denny Hamlin on Sunday?
Well, you know, I feel bad for myself for having even wonder about this, right? I mean, yes, he had the dominant car, and yes, he was in position to win the championship. But it's hard to feel bad. You won the pole position, which means you get first pit selection. They chose pit box number one. And one of the advantages of choosing that pit box between the team, the television cameras, your spotter on the rooftop, is to see what everybody else does on their pit stop. Because your car is already making its way to the last pit box when everybody else is on in their pit stall. So they should have seen everybody else taking two tires. They chose to take four. They chose to give up all the track position. So I feel bad in a way, but I don't in a way. I mean, they gave it away, in my opinion. That was their championship to lose, and they figured out how to lose it.
Alex, how would you respond to people that say the guy that won the most races this year doesn't win a championship because of the format? Does NASCAR, because we've argued a lot on this show, and I don't know if it's so much a format issue as I would like to see maybe a different track or a rotation of tracks be involved in the championship race? Do we have a championship format issue in the sport?
No, 100%. No. And here's the thing. It's the old squeaky wheel gets the oil type of scenario. The people who don't like it are the ones who don't succeed in it. The fans we talk to every week, I do interactions with fans on hospitalities and appearances and things like that at racetracks, and that's one of the first topics that comes up. The overwhelming majority of fans in person love the format, love it because of the excitement, because of what it matters. I'm okay switching the final race around. I think we may be knee-jerk reacting too soon, because the first thing you want to do is rotate that final race so one team doesn't have the advantage. And look, credit Team Penske for figuring out Phoenix. They played the game, because they did not dominate at Phoenix until this was the last race of the year. That's when they put their head down and went to work and said, if we get there, we're going to be okay. Well, they didn't get there this year, but they were still good there. Think about it before. Kevin Harvick was Mr. Phoenix. He dominated Phoenix until it became the championship race. Then all of a sudden, everybody else raised their game, i.e. Team Penske, and Harvick was irrelevant there. Didn't win his championship in this format. That's why he goes on his podcast and says this format needs to be changed. Well, to me, and I know we're totally different than every other sport out there, but baseball's totally different than football and totally different than basketball. Every sport's different, but you still compare things. The New England Patriots went undefeated in the regular season and got beat in the Super Bowl. Is that a format problem? No, they didn't rise to the occasion. We celebrate, pound on our fist on the desk and celebrate the underdog and the upset win in the NCAA men's basketball tournament. We love it. But we can't have an underdog in NASCAR playoffs win, because then it becomes a format problem. So I think we're kind of backwards in a lot of things. And I think we're just doing this a little bit too quickly, because we're starting next year to move the final race to different tracks. So I think if they do change the format, which it probably will change, but if they do decide to change the format, I think we went too soon on it to see how it plays out and have a different final race out there. But I like the format. I think the best teams and the best drivers have to rise to the occasion when it matters most. Corey Heim in the truck race Friday night, they rose to the occasion. He went 7 wide in turn one on the overtime. He went and got his championship, and he set every record you can think of in the truck series this year. So he went and got it. Connor Zilich, he was one of 3 junior motorsports cars out of 4, plus 2 other cars from RCR the 21 and JGR the 19 car for the owner's championship, and junior motorsports did not rise to the challenge. They had 3 cars and couldn't win. So, to me, it's not a format problem. I think it's a race team problem, because when everybody got to Daytona in February, everybody knew what the scenario was going to be. Look, Connor Zilich and Junior Motorsports did not know they were going to win 11 races this year when we were in Daytona. They were fine with the championship format. Problem is, they start winning races throughout the regular season, and the pressure began to mount. Like, oh, my gosh, what if we don't win the championship? So, to me, they kind of got in their own heads a little bit and ended up losing it and didn't have any of the 3 do anything in the championship race. So to me, that's an organization problem.
Let me ask this question to you, Alex. And what will this year, 2025, in NASCAR be remembered for?
Well, sadly, for what happens off the racetrack.
Right.
I mean, this lawsuit's the biggest thing that's happened in our sport, and in my opinion, just about since the beginning of the sport. Nobody's ever sued the sport and have gotten this far to where we're at. So I think that's what 2025 is going to be remembered for, and that's the sad part about it. We had great racing on the track. Was every race great? No. But every football game doesn't come down to a Hail Mary touchdown pass either. Sometimes you got stinkers. Sometimes you got games that are 28-7, and it's over in the third quarter. So it happens. Every race isn't going to be 7 wide coming to the checkered flag. It just doesn't work that way. But as good as the racing has been across the board this year, to me, this year is going to be remembered for what happens off the racetrack.
Here's a hypothetical, Alex. If you know, I think you'd have three votes here. If we voted you czar of the sport, what is the one thing? And this could get scary, so I'm a little nervous to ask. But what is the one thing you would? Because we change things every week on this show. Let's do this. But what is the one thing, as a guy that is around the sport as much as you are, what is the one thing you would change that could improve the product on the track or the sport in general?
The one thing I would change right now is get rid of overtime. And the reason I say that may be unpopular with some people, because the idea of overtime is to give fans a green flag finish. Well, half of the overtimes, we don't get a green flag finish. It still ends under caution because of the way overtime rules are set up. Is the leader takes the white flag, the next flag ends the race. If it's a wreck, caution, you go to the videotape, figure out where it's at. So half the time, we don't do what we are designing and advertising overtime to be. So just get away with it. I mean, the fact of the matter is if you're going to finish an overtime race under caution anyway, just end at the advertised distance. And that brings strategy back into play, because you worry about exactly when the race is going to end fuel-wise, and that can give some people some different options. And it can still end into yellow. It can just as easily end under green. So that would be the main thing that I would change. Maybe that's one of the things on the table this off season. I don't know. There are some other things that are being tossed around by NASCAR, not just championship format, but how we run these races. There's talk about doing away with the choose rule. There's talk about doing away with double file restarts. So there's some discussion. It seems like there's a lot of things on the table that NASCAR is chewing on as we head into this off season.
All right, one last question, and then I got to get your not so sure pick for 2026 champion.
I'm writing it down.
Yeah,
because surely it's going to be wrong.
Yes,
and it could be horrifically wrong, like that one year he picked. Who was it?
Was it Chris Buescher?
Chris Buescher. Yes,
in a 47 car.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll never live that one down. Of course, he was a turn reporter then. He's graduated now to where
he's so much smarter now.
Yeah, that's it. All right, so Kyle Larson, one of the things that you had to do was actually, you know, complete the deal on Sunday. He started ahead of Denny, you know, there at the end. I don't think anybody argues the fact that Kyle Larson's probably one of the best drivers out there. His second championship, typically you have one, and it's like, yeah, you've got one championship. In this format is the word of the day. You get two championships, then you've done something. Talk about Kyle Larson and what this second championship's done for him.
I think this has made him a first ballot Hall of Famer. He was debatable, depending on who else would be up for the ballot when that time came, with one championship. Now with two, this is surefire. I think all this does is solidify Kyle Larson is one of the best that's done it. And doesn't matter the format. Doesn't matter how you won the championship. You know, I went back to what I said a while ago about drivers that need to rise to the occasion and go get the championship. Larson did that. They went and got it with a two-tire car. He put it on the outside lane in Phoenix and drove around five cars. He went and got the championship. Then he tried, just didn't get the job done. So I think for Kyle Larson, he's got a lot of irons in the fire. Obviously, the NASCAR Cup Series. He runs a handful of Xfinity Series races. Yeah, the Indy 500 for the last couple of years. His sprint car series that he owns and still competes in on a regular basis. He goes out of the country to race, sometimes in Australia. The Chili Bowl in Oklahoma. There's a lot that he does. And that's who Kyle Larson is. And he is a race car driver. He loves to drive race cars. And I think that's one of the things that's going to continue to separate Kyle Larson from the rest of the pack. Don't get me wrong, there's a lot of other drivers in the Cup Series that drive other series or other events and things of that nature, but nobody takes it to the level that Kyle Larson does. And he just doesn't do it. He does it and he succeeds in it, and he does it exceptionally well. So I think Kyle Larson will always be remembered by somebody who just was a pure racer from head to toe and everything in between.
All right, let's hear it. Who do you got?
You know, it's going to be tough. But at this point, I think Christopher Bell is the guy. I do. Even though he's missed the championship four this year and last year for that matter, he's still a guy, I think, that just doesn't realize how good he is as a race car driver. And the older he gets, and the more mature he gets, and the more races under his belt, the more I think that is starting to come out. He's starting to realize, hey, I'm pretty doggone good at this. So as long as they can keep their team together, statistically their pit crew was one of the better pit crews. Adam Stevens has won two Cup Series championships as a crew chief already. I think Christopher Bell is the way too early champion, in my opinion.
That's actually, I thought he would go with somebody else. I mean, Scott was trying to get you to go SVG.
That was way too, that was an actual good pick. I'm a little stunned.
Well, you know, it will be 2026, so that is an even number year. And you know NASCAR racing, even number years mean Joey Logano. All of his championships have been won on even number years. Making championship four has been done on even number years. So I don't know if you buy into that kind of Mugambo. I don't know. Buy into it. But I just think they've got some work to do at Team Penske across the board to get a little bit better.
All right. Well, I mean, you got an even number car in the 20. So that's
I like it.
That could work out as well.
I like it.
With your logic.
See, you guys are just so stunned. I came up with a decent pick.
I'm speechless right now.
He's actually writing it down. Yeah,
Christopher Bell.
The last time it wasn't.
I think T. Bell's the guy.
Well, hopefully he can get it done. That would be good. It'd be good for the 20. Man, can't tell you how much we appreciate you. I wish we'd have got to connect at Talladega, but I saw you from the booth. I was on pit road and waved up there, but you do a fantastic job every week and enjoy listening to the races on the radio with you there. And can't tell you how much I appreciate you jumping on and supporting three guys for 13 years that sit around and talk about NASCAR. So we'll do it again next year, and hopefully we can get you back.
Well, I appreciate you guys and all your listeners there in the greater Chattanooga area. You have to understand you guys have a luxury there, and it's what the three of you do and everybody there. So I appreciate you guys letting me be a part of it and having some fun and yucking it up. And that's what I enjoy most about it is you guys are knowledgeable, you know the sport, you're not afraid to say your opinions, and you're not afraid to have somebody else on that could have something totally different to say. So you guys do an outstanding job, and I'm privileged to be a part of it again this year.
We appreciate it, buddy. Enjoy your vacation.
Yes,
you guys have
a good
fun
time.
And be safe.
And don't look at any Dolphins news.
No.
Enjoy your vacation.
No. They're just so bad.
Thanks, Alex.
Thanks, Alex.
See you guys. Take care.
Appreciate
See you, Alex.
It. That's Alex Hayden with MRN Radio. Always great to have Alex on. Appreciate him doing that. I don't even know where we are time wise. We're way over.
Yeah, we got no. I don't think we're way over. Are we? We're way over.
I'm looking at 48 minutes.
Then we're way over.
Real quick, while Jason's looking up the final for the Fantasy League, want to thank Boundless Moving and Storage for their support of the third segment and moving on to the next race. Also, Clarity Property Management for the schedule. Every time we read the schedule this year, it's been Clarity Property Management. And then the Cleveland Aqua Tigers for their support of the Rick Karp Memorial Fantasy Standings. We lost Rick this year, so it's one of those deals, or last year, I think.
Yeah.
It's one of those deals where we like to pay homage to Dwayne Williams, who we lost, and Rick. So we named stuff after him, so we appreciate them and hope their families get some sort of comfort and peace knowing that their dudes are still involved in NASCAR. Jason.
All right, so Phoenix, Scott Webb with a win.
Did I win?
What?
I didn't even look at the points.
You beat me by 8.
Oh, jeez.
So Scott Webb, myself, then Jamie Kyle, then Arnold Tarpley, Untethered Racing, Blake Boyle, Teddy O, Loving Left Turns, Kivo Racing, RLM Racing, Brandon Gaines, Gonna Ride Your Cage 3, Real Lyle. So playoffs.
You know what that means. So, build momentum, baby. So 26, here I come.
Here we go. Playoffs.
Wow.
Teddy O.
Hayden should have picked me.
Loving Left Turns, RLM Racing, Brandon Gaines, Arnold Tarpley, Kivo Racing, Scott Webb, Jamie Kyle, myself, Untethered Racing, Gonna Rattle Your Cage 3, Blake Boyle, The Real Lyle, and Bentley Thomas.
Who won the overall?
So overall.
Wait a minute. So Teddy O won the playoffs.
Teddy O.
Yeah, Teddy O.
And then
Congrats.
RLM Racing, then Brandon Gaines, then myself, Kivo Racing, Arnold Tarpley, Loving Left Turns, Gonna Rattle Your Cage 3, Jamie Kyle, Untethered Racing, Scott Webb, Blake Boyle, The Real Lyle, and Bentley Thomas.
Congratulations, Teddy O.
Yeah.
Teddy O.
I'm just glad I beat some guys that, stopped playing a long time ago.
You didn't finish last.
I
was real concerned.
I got to add those guys in because, like I said, you know, you don't say I finished one out of two.
No.
You know, you finish one out of three sounds better, you know. But, you know.
You did well, but Teddy O is our champion. Make sure you join us next year. It's a lot of fun, and we definitely are going to talk about you.
February.
And for sure, yeah. So February. All right, so what I normally need to do now, I'm going to do going forward, is I'm going to tell you boys Happy Thanksgiving, Merry Christmas, and Happy New Year, because I won't be talking to you until probably end of January.
Yeah, I'm so sure you will.
It's a lot of fun. These guys, we're all friends here and have become friends over the time, so it's a lot of fun talking NASCAR. But we enjoy a break, and that's what we're going to take. So we'll be back the week before the Daytona 500 to get you started for another 48 weeks.
Like the 12th weeks. Or the 11th, something like that.
And
I think the race is on the 15th.
The Clash is on the 1st, the first Sunday
in
February.
We
weren't going to be doing that, but it'll be on the 15th. Yeah, so we'll be back then. Have a great holiday season, a great off season. Enjoy it. We appreciate you listening. And for Scott Webb, Jason Hildebrand, I'm Jamie Kyle. Thanks for listening to the final edition of 2025 of Finish Line Radio.
Don't forget to follow Finish Line Radio on Twitter at Finish Line Radio. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air
on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
Hey, merry off season and a happy Christmas.